BT toxin, excuse me, BT crops produce crystalline or cryotoxins derived from the bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis. This includes the first generation of BT crops, which produced Cry1AC and Cry1AB for control of Lepidoptera. More recent crop varieties also produce toxins such as Cry3 and the Cry3435 binary toxin for control of Coleoptera. One of the primary benefits of BT crops is that they provide very effective control of target pests. Here we see a comparison of BT versus non-BT varieties for two different crops. And as a result, the planting of BT crops has increased rapidly in recent years, with BT corn and BT cotton covering just over 100 million acres in 2007. As a result, some key insect pests are under strong selection to evolve resistance to BT. And some of these pests in North America are shown in this slide. There are several factors, agricultural systems, that can delay pest resistance to BT crops. This includes the concentration of toxin in the crop, with a high concentration making resistance a functionally recessive trait. Additionally, refuges of non-BT host plants and fitness costs of resistance can act to delay pest adaptation to BT crops. Fitness cost is defined simply as lower fitness for a BT-resistant genotype compared to a BT-susceptible genotype in the absence of BT toxin. And the cost is illustrated here. You'll notice that the resistant genotype has higher fitness than the susceptible genotype on the BT crop, but on the non-BT crop, fitness is lower for the resistant genotype relative to the susceptible. The importance of fitness costs can be best appreciated within the context of the high-dose refuge strategy for resistance management. This strategy involves planting a BT crop that produces a high concentration of BT toxin, making resistance a functionally recessive trait so that only homozygous resistant individuals, symbolized here as RR, can survive on the BT crop. Any surviving resistant insects will likely mate with the abundant susceptible individuals found in the refuge. Their heterozygous progeny will be unable to survive on the BT crop, and this will delay pest adaptation. However, movement of R alleles into the refuge population will eventually lead to overall evolution of resistance. Fitness cost of resistance will act to remove R alleles from refuges and thereby delay pest adaptation. What I'd like to talk about now is a literature review which surveyed studies to date on fitness costs of BT resistance. Articles for this review were found using a variety of methods, including database searches, correspondence with BT researchers, and thorough check of bibliographies for all studies found. So in total, we reviewed 77 studies. In these studies, researchers quantified resistance by measuring the LC50, or the concentration of BT toxin that was required to kill 50% of the population. So a higher LC50 means that the population was more resistant to BT. Additionally, resistance ratios were calculated, which is simply the ratio of LC50 for the resistant strain divided by the LC50 of the susceptible strain. Two methods were used to quantify fitness costs in these studies. One involved a comparison of fitness components for strains which differed in their LC50s. And these fitness components would include life history characters such as development time, growth, or survival. And one would conclude that a cost was present for a character such as survival if the BT susceptible strain had a higher value for that character than the BT resistant strain. Additionally, change in resistance over time was considered. The idea here is that fitness cost will cause a decrease in the LC50 within a strain if that strain is not exposed to or selected with BT toxin. So one would conclude that a fitness cost was present if a significant decrease in the LC50 occurred after exposure to BT toxin stopped. In general, we see that there's an increasing interest in fitness cost. This graph shows a cumulative number of studies as a function of time beginning in 1990 and going up to present day. The other thing to notice is that recently there's been an interest in considering how ecological variation might affect fitness costs and also in testing for the dominance of fitness costs. Our understanding of costs is based on relatively few species. The vast majority of studies to date have been conducted with Lepidoptera, and of those studies, 50% are based on two species, pink bollworm, Pectinophaga cipiella, and the diamondback moth, Plutella xylostella. Selection experiments were more effective at detecting costs than were fitness component comparisons, with selection experiments detecting costs in 62% of cases and fitness component comparisons only detecting costs in 34% of cases. Studies which measured more fitness components were better able to detect costs. Those studies that reported a cost on average measured just under 9 components, while those studies reporting an absence of any fitness cost measured just over 4 fitness components. But among those fitness components, it did not appear to matter which were measured, as costs were distributed equally among components. Here we see different fitness components on the left-hand side, and the number of times for which costs were present versus absent for those different components. So the specific components didn't matter, but simply the number which the researchers measured. Interestingly, we found that populations with a higher level of resistance displayed greater fitness costs. For those selection experiments that detected a significant decrease in the LC50 after exposure to BT toxin stopped, the resistance ratios for those populations was just over 18,000. By contrast, studies that didn't see a change in LC50 were experimenting with strains which had a resistance ratio of around 300. Additionally, for fitness component comparisons, we see that the number of fitness components displaying a cost within a given study was significantly correlated both with the total number of components measured, but also the resistance ratio of the strain. So these data then imply a second advantage for designing BT transgenics that produce a higher concentration of toxin. The first advantage, as was discussed in the introduction, is that a high concentration of toxin makes resistance a functionally recessive trait and prevents RS individuals from surviving on the BT crop. The second advantage is that if these plants produce a higher concentration of toxin, the greater level of resistance that's going to be required for insects to survive on those crops is going to be accompanied with larger fitness costs, and this is going to help delay pest resistance. In addition to measuring the presence or absence of costs, studies also look at the genetic basis of costs and test whether they are recessive, only affecting RS individuals, additive, with heterozygous individuals showing intermediate levels of fitness costs, or dominant, with heterozygous and homozygous resistant individuals having similar levels of fitness costs. Non-recessive costs are going to be the most effective at delaying resistance, and this has to do with the frequency of R alleles in heterozygous individuals. We see here our different genotype frequencies, homozygous resistant, heterozygous, and homozygous susceptible, as a function of R allele frequency. When R alleles are rare, the vast majority of those alleles are going to be found in heterozygous resistant individuals. So the fitness of the heterozygotes is critical to determining how quickly populations will evolve resistance to BT. And we see that in about 1/4 of the cases, non-recessive fitness costs are present. Another trend that we see in the literature is that ecological factors can affect both the dominance and the magnitude of fitness costs. Host plants and secondary chemicals, as well as entomopathogenic organisms, can magnify fitness costs or cause them to become more dominant. And this, I think, represents the most exciting area in terms of applying knowledge of fitness costs to improve resistance management. We can now start to think about refuges as having two functions. In addition to producing susceptible insects, they can also be manipulated to magnify fitness costs and thereby delay pest adaptation. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes?
Were most of the studies that you analyzed conducted on diet or on actual crops? Or were there any differences in the magnitude and dominance of costs between studies conducted on diet and maybe studies conducted on actual BT crops?
So the studies were conducted on both diet and on plants, and we did find that the costs were in some cases larger on plants. So again, secondary compounds or perhaps specific plant varieties can act to magnify costs. Yes?
I'm unaware of the literature, so this may be an elementary question, but I was wondering if there's evidence for the genotypes if the resistance to BT is, if it's shown to be monofactorial or polyfactorial, you know?
There are some cases where single traits of large effect can confer resistance, but even in those cases there appear to be other genes involved that can select for even higher levels of resistance. One example of this is a pink bollworm, where cadherin-based mutations confer resistance to BT, but even in strains that have this cadherin-based resistance, it's still possible to select for higher levels of resistance. In other cases, especially at lower levels of resistance, it often appears to be a polygenic trait.
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned the secondary compound was involving in the resistance, and that can affect the fitness of the insect. Do you have any information regarding the tritrophic level from that secondary compound and the tritrophic level for bioprotein? How that can affect positively or negatively?
I think that's a great question. So how might tritrophic interactions affect resistance evolution? And to date, there's been very little work done on fitness costs or effect of tritrophic interactions on fitness costs. There has been some work by Fred Gould and others looking at interactions of plants, parasitoids, and resistance-susceptible genotypes independent of fitness costs and how that might affect resistance evolution. But in the area of fitness costs specifically, there's very little data to date. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Thank you.